Reminiscences of K. Krishnamurti, Kittu, recorded by Mangalam Kalyanaraman and translated by Suresh Natarajan. Kittu joined the Veda Patisala at Ramanashramam in 1938 at the age of 11. He completed his studies and stayed on in the ashram after Bhagavan's Mahasamadhi to serve as the chief priest for 45 years. He endeared himself to all and diligently devoted his life to the worship at the shrines of the ashram until his very last day on October 8, 1995. We always saw Bhagavan as divinity manifested, Bhagavad Swarupam, and therefore we had fear inside while approaching him. But he always behaved very naturally with us. Major Chadwick was always fond of us boys in the Veda Patisala, and once during the Deepavali festival, he got 6 blankets in 6 different colors for each of us. Each one of us felt the color we picked was not as good as what the others had. Then we were told to take it to Bhagavan to get his blessings. We went one by one to Bhagavan with our new blankets, and he looked at each of our blankets and said, "Oh, red color looks very good. Ah, green color looks very good," and so on. So each of us came back fully satisfied that our blanket color was the best. Chinnaswamy's administration of the ashram was very strict towards the Veda Patisala. We were not allowed to go out, not even to go home for festivals like Deepavali, etc. The rules and regulations were enforced, and entertainment like the cinema was out of the question. But we were boys, and once in a while we would sneak off to go to a good movie running in town. So, unbeknownst to Chinnaswamy, at 9 p.m., when the ashram gates were closed, we would avoid the front gate and jump out of the ashram on the backside near the Goshala cow shed. We quietly walked by the Pandavatirtham and a cremation ground in the dark. Any fear in the night was overcome by our intense desire to go and watch the movie. We would then come back only by 2 a.m. and silently enter the ashram again through the Goshala side. Sometimes Bhagavan would come to the Goshala side around 2 a.m. to answer which is called. Seeing him, we would be filled with fear that Bhagavan would see us coming back from the cinemas and try to hide ourselves. When he did, he would simply nod his head, smile at us, and go on his way. The next morning, we would be unable to get up at 5 a.m. to recite Veda Parayanam. Even when some devotees came and tried to wake us up, we couldn't get up and miss the chanting. This news would soon reach Chinnaswamy, and he would come to us to demand to know why we missed the Parayanam. We just sat there quietly, not opening our mouths. Some people would bring up the issue in front of Bhagavan and wonder why Parayanam didn't happen. He would just smile and say, "Looks like the boys overslept." Never letting on that he had seen us coming back at 2 a.m. Thus, he was so kind and understanding toward our childish transgressions. Talking of cinemas, once, in order to make Bhagavan himself see some devotional movies, Premji Dwarabji got a projector from Madras and played movies such as Bhaktamira, Karna in Hindi, Tukaram, etc. He also sat next to Bhagavan and enjoyed watching those movies. There is a particular sequence in a movie that I remember where the bad guy was played by a comedian, Kali in Ratnam, who gets roughed up, beaten, and his tuft of hair plucked away. He then sings hilariously, "Arakira Thailam Potu, Arumaya Valartha in Kudumiya, Molakira Pudungara Madri, Pudingitti Porane, Pudingitti Poitane." The tuft of hair that I grew so lovingly with all kinds of herbal oils had been plucked away like one would pluck spinach leaves from the garden. Bhagavan was himself laughing so hard at his song with us. This is a wonderful fun memory that I still cherish. Bhagavan was served food by Samatata, and before that, Rangarao and Ramamurthy. After I had become somewhat old and experienced, I got the good fortune of serving Bhagavan. Normally, everybody has to be fed first and then Bhagavan fed last. And Bhagavan must be fed only as much or as little as others. If he finds out that we have served him more than others, he would give us a look that would terrify us. Even if we were very careful, occasionally we would slip up and make a mistake. He would then say, "Oh ho, did you serve me like you did others?" in a stern voice. One day, I was serving lemon pickle for everyone, only serving one or two pieces on each plate. As I got close to Bhagavan, I heard Chinnaswamy yell from inside the kitchen, "Bhagavan likes lemon pickles. Bhagavan likes lemon pickle a lot. Serve him an extra piece." Even though I knew I was not supposed to, emboldened by the voice of Chinnaswamy, I served three pieces instead of two to Bhagavan. As soon as I served it, he gave me a stern look. I had no courage to face that look, so I just went back hurriedly. He said, "Oh ho, you have become a big man," as I had never heard Bhagavan talk to me in such a manner before. I started crying, and I didn't feel like eating either. Bhagavan washed his hands and walked towards the Goshala. I went behind him and, without realizing, started sobbing uncontrollably. He asked me what happened. I said, "By mistake, I served more without knowing. Please forgive me." He said, "Very poor. It's okay. Why cry for this?" Only then I felt some peace and courage. From then I knew that I should stop when he said enough and serve little when he said little. Because if I served more out of my desire to serve Bhagavan, I knew I would be punished for that. I always cherished the great fortune of serving Bhagavan. Once Bhagavan went for his usual walk to the mountain, and without telling anyone, he decided to walk up to Skandashrama. Since he did not come back for a while and no one knew where he had gone, everyone started to get worried. Chinnaswamy especially was very concerned and asked everyone to search for Bhagavan. Then news came that he had gone up to Skandashrama. So we took some food preparations and went up to Skandashrama. We all then had a good time up there eating with Bhagavan and then came back. Later, as Bhagavan's health deteriorated, I had to take his food, porridge, rice and juice to wherever he was. One day, he couldn't even eat rice. He asked me if I had brought rasam and if I also had buttermilk. I said yes. He took both, thoroughly mixed them and drank it. I asked Bhagavan why he was taking only this to eat, and he said, "Do you know how good this is? Try it." And he gave me some and asked me how it was. I said it tasted really nice. He said, "See, this is enough." Once Maunaswamy wanted Bhagavan to have some pomegranate juice, as he thought that it would be beneficial for his health. He wanted Bhagavan to drink it unmixed with water, which is the usual practice. So, omitting the water, he prepared a glass full of thick juice made with a lot of pomegranates. He then gave it to me to serve Bhagavan. Normally, when such juices were prepared, I was encouraged to serve a whole glass to Bhagavan without any fear. But when I would take it to Bhagavan, he would either not take it at all or take only a little, never beyond a certain limit. So, when I went this time, with the thick pomegranate juice. He asked me what it was. When I told him, he said, "You have brought me a large amount, haven't you? Take it back." Then I pleaded with him to take at least some. He graciously relented and asked me to get an empty glass, poured a quarter of the glass with the juice, and asked me to fill the remaining three quarters of the glass with water. He stirred it thoroughly and then he drank it. He then said, "It is not good to drink more than this," and sent me back. They asked me why I didn't serve Bhagavan all the juice. After hearing my explanation, they reluctantly accepted my position, as none dared to go near Bhagavan to serve him more. By Bhagavan's grace, I got used to approaching Bhagavan with food and serving him to the extent possible, and developed the courage to face his remonstrances, and I was able to do so till the very end. Once on Vaikunthe Ekadasi day, his health was not good and he was lying down in the Nirvana room. I took a light meal of juice, etc. for him in the morning. Krishnaswami Mudaliar and his wife came there at the time. They were at the entrance waiting to come inside when somebody told them that they could enter. Bhagavan noticed the commotion and asked what was going on. I found out that they wanted to give Kirtam, holy water, for Vaikunthe Ekadasi to Bhagavan, and so told that to Bhagavan. He jokingly said, "Oh ho, they want to give moksha liberation to Bhagavan and Vaikunthe Ekadasi day by giving Kirtam. You go and get that water and come." And he asked me to put that holy water directly into his mouth. Another day, similarly, he couldn't lift the juice himself, so he asked me to serve it directly into his mouth. So in this way, I served him little by little, as much as he could handle. When Bhagavan was well enough to eat in the dining hall, he normally used to take his banana leaf plate away himself. When Bhagavan was well enough to eat in the dining hall, he normally used to take his banana leaf plate away himself after eating. But once his health declined, the management thought Bhagavan should just leave his leaf plate instead of bothering to take it out with him. But they couldn't decide who should go and tell this to Bhagavan. Everybody was afraid of approaching Bhagavan to make such a request, as they knew he did not like any preferential treatment. At that time, Princess Prabhavati was visiting the ashram, and she offered to approach Bhagavan to make this request. Being of the royal family, she felt bold enough to approach Bhagavan with this request and thought he would accede to it. As soon as he finished eating, she approached Bhagavan and told him, "Please don't take the leaf plate yourself. We will clean it up after you get up." We all expected that he would say yes, as she was royalty. Bhagavan instead looked straight at her and asked, Who will take my leaf plate then?" She replied, "I will." Then he asked, "What about other leaf plates then?" She boldly replied that she would take away everyone else's leaf plates too. So she cleaned up the leaf plates of everyone that day. And from that day onward, Bhagavan did not take his leaf plate after eating. Also, the leaf plate that Bhagavan ate from was considered holy, and devotees vied to have the opportunity to eat their meal on it. So from then on, there would be intense competition to eat from his used leaf plate. Krishnaswami would eat off that plate on some days and others on other days. Even I got the fortune of eating from that plate. Bhagavan put a stop to this when it came to his attention. Once Mr. Bose and his daughter came to the ashram. He wanted to film the Vedaparayanam, so they brought the movie camera where we were reciting. We kept looking at the camera and they said, "Don't look at the camera, look at Bhagavan." Bhagavan also said, don't keep looking at the camera as they are shooting. You look here as you always do and continue with Vedaparayanam. And continue with the Parayanam. Then they got snacks and savories for us to eat. Again, they were shooting as we were eating. So we kept looking at the camera. And again, Bhagavan said laughingly, don't keep looking at the camera. Eat as you normally would. Overall, I had the good fortune of being with Bhagavan from a very young age, that is, from 1938 to 50. During all those years, Bhagavan was attentive in witnessing all the pujas performed in the ashram. Chinnaswamy was keen about doing all the pujas properly. Right from Bhagavan's time, he would have the food bell ring only after the pujas ended. Similarly, when we made nice decorations for the 9-day festival of Navaratri, we would be happy when Bhagavan came to see them. Earlier, drawing master Narayana Swami was doing the decorations. Then the tradition became that we boys would do it. When we finished all the work, we would wait for Bhagavan to come and see it. When he was on his way to the Goshala, we would humbly approach him. He would ask what was the matter. He would say that the decorations had been completed. He would endearingly then say, so I have to come and see them. Okay. Then he would kindly come and see all the decorations. Similarly, after every puja and Deepa Aradhana, the plate with the vibhuti and kumkum and karpur arati would be taken to Bhagavan's sannidhi, and he would accept the prasad first. Even if the puja got delayed a few minutes, he would wait patiently accept the prasad. Bhagavan was particularly fond of us boys of the Vedapathashala. He would graciously move with us as if he were one of us. This gave us immense pleasure and confidence. Everyone else in the ashram was very strict with us. Doraswami Iyer would always yell at us. We were all terrified of Chinnaswamy. But in spite of all that, due to Bhagavan's benevolence, we were all so happy. Thus, we had a very blissful time serving Bhagavan and being in his presence all those years. Later, after Bhagavan's Mahanirvana, I was able to do some service to Chinnaswamy. He usually liked a little extra salt with his meals, and he had much faith in me. So, whenever I told him that the food was salted just as he liked it, he trusted me. He said I was always correct. He started calling me endearingly as Kittappa, which is a name that stuck to me back then. I was able to serve him till his end in 1953, and now I have the blessings of taking care of his samadhi shrine too. Then his son T.N. Venkatraman became the president and is called Anna, elder brother, by everyone. He was known as Venkatu Anna by all, and we also called him the same way. Back then, his room was in the Pathashala itself. Thus, we all had a very good association with Venkatu Anna as well.